what to preach on Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend, that is. Do you preach on the obvious? Well, some say I might do that. Didn't choose to do that today, though. You see, you've heard enough about Texas. I mean, I can only preach on it so much. I'm going to preach on attendance. Got all you visitors here, and you say, why on attendance? Well, I would venture to say this is a view of attendance you probably have never heard of. And why would I say that? Because I've been in the church as a member since 1977, but before that, back to 1962, I had never heard of this particular aspect of attendance. And so, you come on a day when the preacher preaches on attendance, and you start to yawn and say, am I going to listen? And I beg you to listen, because there's some things you probably have never heard. Acts chapter 11 and verse 29 is where we'll begin. Acts chapter 11, verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with attendance, but it gives you the beginnings of an idea, a principle, if you will, that everything that we do, we are charged with to do it to the best of our ability, according to our ability. This was with regard to relief in Judea. There was an upcoming drought, a time of hard times in Judea. It had been prophesied. It was sure to come. They knew it was going to come, so let's prepare for it. So every man, according to his ability, gave so that the church might be relieved there in Judea. When preaching on attendance in worship, I stress the obligation that we have to gather. Excuse me, I got something stuck in my throat. I stress the obligation we have to gather when the congregation is called to worship, called to edify. These are important things, essential in the Christian's life. In fact, you can't go to the scriptures and find a Christian that's not devoted to these things. The question inevitably comes, what about my situation? And of course, there's always someone that comes and tells you about what their situation is. I remember well this elderly woman coming up to me after I'd preached on attendance, that I just can't do it. I've got this situation, I've got that situation, I'm taking care. And I said, stop right there. These are things for you to decide. I only want to give you the obligation that you have. And the next time that we met, I came back with this sermon, that it is all to be according to our ability. She asked, am I going to be lost because I'm not there every time? It should be noted that when I stress attendance, I generally address those who are absent for recreational reasons or because they feel no responsibility to be in attendance. I fully recognize that there are situations that cause members to be absent that are out of their control. There is that Bible principle that we've already noted so far. Every man according to his ability. It's an important thing to remember because there are people that are home right now that are guilt-ridden because they're not there, but they know they have other obligations. And sometimes those obligations are holy. You have to take care of your kids. You have to take care of your parents. You have to do some things. You have to make a living. I understand all those things. First point I want to make is, we are required to attend according to our ability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, this principle is stated once again. When the Apostle Paul brings up the gathering together of this money that needed to go back to Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Now, as we look at these things with regard to attendance, these things will apply to other things like giving. I remember well my mother telling me about this woman. For some reason, in the Church of Christ, and I never have seen it happen since, that they had a sermon on tithing. Like I say, I haven't seen it since. It's just not part of the New Testament. That if you earn this much, and they had a chart, that you should give this much. And there's this young woman in the back. She does all she can. She is a worker in the church, but she's sitting back there crying because she has bills to pay, and there's just no way she can give that much. It's all according to our ability. Every man according to his ability, the Bible says. Among first century Gentiles, most Christians were slaves. This is just a matter of historical record. You go to Rome and you gather around the church, and how many are not slaves? Well, it'd be a very few in the church at Rome, because slavery was rampant. Everybody was part of that system, either as owner or slave, because of victory in battle and many other reasons. They were slaves. They would gather on Sunday evening after their work was done. They weren't able to on Sunday morning. They had to come when they could, when they were released from their duties by their masters. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him stored as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That is, according to your ability. Not beyond your ability, but according to your ability. According to ability means according to whether you reasonably can or can't. If you don't accept my definition of the word, try to find a better one. It either means according to your ability, less than your ability, or more than your ability. According to whether you reasonably can or can't. And I'm going to give some examples here in a minute. One is not excused when one chooses recreation or personal comfort over worship. Worship is one of those things that you don't miss. Think about when an IRS agent calls and says, you have an appointment with me on the 12th. He doesn't mean that you can miss. He doesn't mean any other day. He means that you take it seriously because there are going to be consequences. If you don't believe that there are consequences to missing worship, we could talk about Nadab and Abihu, how important worship was to the children of Israel. We could talk about Uzzah and how he reached up to the ark and was struck dead because he didn't know how to address the ark. It's important. We can't stress that too much. So one is not excused when one chooses recreation or personal comfort over worship. One is not excused when one's life could reasonably be rearranged to accommodate it. How do I know that? Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. The Lord gives a parable to stress certain obligations that we have. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They said they had obligations. The Lord said, Your main obligation is to me. You can rearrange your life for when I've called. And so it is for many of us. We fail to rearrange our lives when we can. According to our ability, implies a standard that a reasonable person would agree with. Suppose you had a gunshot wound that needed immediate medical attention. It's Sunday morning, and you know you're supposed to be in worship. What do? You might bleed out, but at least you were in worship. Nope, I don't think the Lord requires that of you. A reasonable person said, you ought to be in the hospital, making sure that you can come next month when you're healed up. It might be possible for you to be in a stretcher in worship, but reasonable people would say, no, go get your gunshot wound taken care of. Medical attention is immediately necessary. Would it be reasonable to ask a police officer to leave an emergency and neglect his duty to make it to worship? Well, if you can reasonably change your schedule around, you need to be in worship. But you're charged with the protection of the people of your community. And if that calls you, that's where your duty is. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the children of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Paul teaches that the Macedonians gave beyond what was reasonable. He implied a reasonable level of giving in doing that. Now, they were authorized to give beyond, and sometimes we can too. We say that that we have that opportunity and see where that opportunity is before us. We can do that, but they were not required to do that. This principle extends to many circumstances. About endurance. Can you endure a couple of hours in worship? There's some people that you see them refusing to come to worship, but you see them under the hair dryer or sitting in the barber shop or wherever it is, chatting with this person and that person, or going to a ball game and sitting there for 3 hours, but not able to come to worship. You know that's unreasonable. They should be able to arrange their schedule to where they can be in worship, but some people can't. They do their best. They oftentimes are in their easy chair in front of the TV. These are some shut-ins that we've had from time to time. They're able to watch the religious programs on the television before worship hour. There are some good ones there, and they know which ones they are. And they do the best that they can with what they have. Can they come and sit? Well, maybe once in a blue moon it would be okay. Their condition is better that day. But in general, no. They can't come and sit for a couple of hours. Some of them, not even a half an hour. Just simply because they're afraid of incontinence or whatever it is. Because of these things, they stay home. Endurance, sometimes it's just for illness' sake. When I'm sick, I'm sick. I get dizzy and can't stand up, barely find my way to the bathroom when I need to. My wife has to bring things for me to eat. That's the way it is when I'm sick. Do you expect me in worship at those times? It's not going to happen. I won't be able to make it across the parking lot. That's just the way it is. Some people are working to provide for family. In many cases, it's not reasonable to suggest that someone get another job so that they can be in every service. Law enforcement, military, medical care. These people have marketable skills in a particular area, and it doesn't often translate to other things. Their family would go hungry if they were to go into another field. Some say, well, have another job to pay for the bills. The family must be provided for, and we look to them to do that. Some people have a lack of transportation. Sometimes you can make arrangements. Sometimes you can't. We should understand that. We should understand that there are emergencies, things that come up from time to time. Sometimes people use the emergency card too often, but there are true, real, genuine emergencies, things that happen. Family member, a neighbor, their house burns down. They need real help, and they need it right now. And I understand that. I think the Lord does too, because it's according to our ability. And there are other principles that come into play. The Good Samaritan, things of this nature. Safety. When we often make one calls when there's ice on the ground, may not apply to your particular area. A particular gush of rain comes and washes away a bridge, and you know about it. It's not safe for you to try to make it around, to make it to worship. I'm asking you, you're of course going to go home, but don't go to unsafe lengths to get to worship, because we don't want you to die. In Central Texas, as it is around here, there are places where people have not learned basic lessons of hydrology and physics, and they start to drive into that water. Maybe they've never done it before, or maybe they've done it before or seen someone else, and it worked out fine, but all of a sudden, the water washes them down the stream, and they're dead in 10 minutes. It's a sad thing. Don't take safety out of the issue. This principle does not apply to, well, I'm at the highest I've ever been on this video game. I can't stop now. Doesn't apply to that. Doesn't apply to a football game. It doesn't apply to recreational hunting. I don't care if it is the first day of hunting season. I don't care if everybody in the world is releasing their employees for that day. I don't care if it's Super Bowl Sunday. The Bible doesn't mention Super Bowl Sunday. The Bible mentions worship. But according to our ability, if you're reasonably able, you're required to be there. You can rest assured that God does not require more than what you are reasonably able to give. Notice 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11. 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, that word minister here is used in such a way that it's not talking about a minister, but doing ministry or serving. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. What God has given you, use it. If God hasn't given you in that area, you're released. People go around with guilty consciences because they weren't able to do something. Ask yourself, were you able reasonably to do something about it? If you were, go back and get busy and work on the problem. If not, go live your life. Go call somebody who might be able to help. But you're not to be guilty over that particular thing. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. There's that principle once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted, according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And so, according to as you're able. The Bible implies a reasonable level of ability to, the Bible implies a reasonable level of ability through it, also, though it also authorizes going beyond reasonable ability. Now, I suppose someday that there may be a congregation in a big city area that recognizes the need for midnight services to take care of the policemen coming off a shift, firemen, nurses, whatever it might be. And I suppose that there are times where it could be that everyone can't be accommodated with a service. I think that might be hard on a preacher, but it might be done. But elders and leaders do the best that they can, making services where it is reasonable that that people can attend. Some not, some are able, some hit and miss because of shift work. I understand all that, and the Bible does too. But everything is according to your ability, with an eye on when you are able, you get up and you put your Sunday clothes on and you grab your Bible and you get to worship. Because worship is the most important thing we will do. No one will ever regret with their dying breath, man, I wish I hadn't wasted all that time on worship. We understand, and we're not second-guessing you and your reasons for absence. However, we especially admire those who go beyond reasonable ability. If you wonder whether God accepts your current level of attendance, please study these matters until your mind is settled on it. If you find that your reasons for absence don't measure up, ask God for forgiveness and resolve to be in attendance according to your ability. So there you have it. The lesson is yours, your Memorial Day lesson. Perhaps the memory part is simply remembering these things. There may be those who need to ask God for forgiveness and make it known, since being absent is a matter that a lot of people often know, that you need to make it known publicly that you've repented. And if we can assist you with that, the time is now for you to do that. But if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you've been neglecting that, why go another day, another hour without salvation? It's the saddest thing ever to be known on this earth, that someone dies 10 minutes after they had the opportunity to take care of life's most important question. What must I do to be saved? If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you've repented of your sins, you've changed your mind and decided to do it God's way now, you're willing to confess Christ before men and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you haven't taken care of that, take care of it now. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be added to the church. You'll be headed toward heaven. You'll be on that narrow way that leads to life. If we can assist you with that, or with making known your repentance, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?